opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hi, this is Al.
Well, hi, Al. This is Ron Lim, co-host of the Ask Al show. We are brought to you by Heavenly Donuts. Did you know that they have a 24-hour drive-through window and a walk-up window? But you didn't know that. And they only did.
I did know that.
Not only do they have donuts, but they have some breakfast stuff, too. Our favorite place to go to. So, if you would like to call in, we sure would like you to call in. The number is 530-605-4567. I'll repeat it again after the next break, so go get a pencil. If you want to listen to us on your phone, just go to kcnr1460.com, hit the live green button, and listen in. So, yeah.
And they can also text my phone.
Oh, yeah.
707-499-8999. Again, 707-499-8999. Text, I'll get the text.
Or you can also message either one of us on Facebook Messenger. Ask Al or Ron Lim.
And you have the live chat up tonight, too, right?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
We have a guest listening in and
hanging
out with us, Lenny Matthews. Welcome, Lenny.
Thank you.
She's hanging out with us and just listening in.
And I guess we're going to continue. I'll let you tell
us.
Yeah,
we have a very special guest.
Very special guest.
Tonight.
Calling in, right?
Yes, calling in from Texas, Tony Lampson. And Tony Lampson's going to share with us some of his experiences and... share a story, give us some insight into what he's been through, how PTSD has showed up in his life.
Great.
And how he's managed it and dealt with it.
Is Tony online?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Nice to have you on board.
Yeah, thank you for being with us tonight, Tony. So, Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll just curious, like, where you were born and where you were raised. Where are you from?
Yeah, I started traveling from birth, actually. I was born in Alabama, raised in Michigan. Got out of high school, joined the military, joined the Marine Corps right out. I did 22 and a half in the Marine Corps, 4 in the Navy Reserves, 3.5 Army National Guard, so been around a while.
That is a lot of years in the service.
Yep. My first view of it was of any kind of live action was Beirut, sitting off the coast and having a repeat of the SEAL team movie from back in the 80s, where they were off the coast and the sky was just, the buildings were all just lit up from the bombs going off, and seeing that from the signal bridge of a ship that was going to be my home for the next 6 months off the coast, that was quite daunting.
How old were you at this time?
Just turned 19.
Just turned 19. What conflict was it?
Excuse me, just turned 20. I'm sorry.
And which conflict was this?
That was during the peacekeeping mission in Beirut.
Beirut.
We were the last group there before they did the pullout.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so you give me again, run through your timeline in the different services. That went quick. I thought you said 22. Did I hear you right?
Yeah.
Okay, 22 years.
Yeah. Wow. I was from January of 83 to April of 91, right after Desert Storm, Desert Shield. I got out and I was chasing the money that was available out in the civilian market from Kuwait. The guys never had the contract. So I ended up joining the Navy Reserve and was on my way to Australia within a month. I spent 4 years in the Navy Reserve, went to Army National Guard from 95 to 98, and then they said I could get back in, so I went back into the Marine Corps and finished out the rest of my active time. I retired October of 09.
Wow. You know, a lot of years of service there. And so what made you decide, what was the driving force for you enlisting initially when you were 20?
Well, my grades weren't going to get me into college. That was it was kind of pretty much the norm for most of us that didn't have good grades, or we just felt you know, the draw to it. I was out of high school maybe a week, and I enlisted. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me. The idea that I joined the Marines didn't sit well with my mom, but she did say that it had the best-looking uniforms. So
how did you break it to your mom that you decided to join the Marines?
She went through the list, and the Marine Corps was the last on her list, and she said, well, the dress blues do look great. So that's pretty much where that went.
So now when you enlisted and you went into active service, was the military anything like you imagined it would be?
Yes and no. I mean, home life was kind of rough growing up, being the eldest of five kids and being the stepson, and I had there were underlying issues. Some of it was my fault, some of it wasn't. It was just the times that we lived in. So growing up was rough back then. And going to boot camp, it really wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, which was surprising. So
you saw multiple deployments.
Yes, ma'am.
And these deployments differed from each other. What stands out to you the most from each deployment?
Well, there's one kind of deployment where you can go out and interact with the different indigenous people of the different countries you go to around the Mediterranean or down in the South Pacific or wherever you're at in the world. But then there's the kind where you're, always watching over your shoulder, always having to watch your six because you just don't know who you can trust and who you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So the last two deployments that I did were, the last two of three deployments I did were to Iraq and Kuwait. So.
Wow. So you saw a lot of activity on your deployments. Now when you were on your deployments, how were you able to stay in touch with your family, or were you?
No, and that I really didn't stay in touch with my family. That was my fault, and it's kind of like dealing with the darkness, and you don't want to bring that home and introduce that to your family at the home. That's your place of peace and rest. You don't want to introduce that darkness into your home. So you really couldn't say anything to anybody. You know, they had a bunch of questions, and you couldn't answer any of it because of operational security. So it was just easier not to communicate, but I have to pay the price afterwards, which a lot of us are dealing with right now.
Okay, so I want to touch on that a little bit, because really that's the momentum of our show right now is dealing with PTSD, and you brought up, paying the price for the darkness once you come home, and, is that something that you can talk to us a little bit about and how that has impacted your life and relationships and work and moving forward, how has that shown up in your life?
With regards to having PTSD and depression and the rest of it that goes with having been in a combat environment, we all handle it differently because we all come from different walks of life and we had different upbringings. We could stand next to a guy and witness the same event, but we're gonna process it totally differently because of our values and how we were raised. For me, I had always been an outcast, the outsider from day one. I was in a town where I wasn't three generations into that, three generations of family in that town. I was the outsider, and they let me know that. But it carried on. It just, I got to the point where I just watched so many people coming and going out of my life that it was just easier not to make close relations anymore after that. And it became a form of self-isolation, emotional isolation, and spiritual isolation as well. So,
now you had mentioned that you're growing up, you guys moved around a lot. Why is that?
We didn't move around a lot, so to speak. I mean, I only moved like three or four times, but it was just to get to the base place where I was at, during my school years. A lot of it had the first move from Alabama up to Michigan was because my mother and my father got divorced. Mm-hmm. He was an Army veteran. He served in Vietnam.
Your dad was in Vietnam.
Yep.
Okay, we are going to take a pause right now. Yeah, take a quick break. Tony, thank you so much, and we'll continue this when we come back from our break.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Firewater Supply is proud to join the Hero Circle for Heroes of the North State's Toys for Tots Toy Drive. We understand that it takes the community to come together in times of need. It is with great honor to be invited to take part in bringing the joy of Christmas to children of Shasta County. All of us at Firewater Supply would like to invite you to do the same this holiday season by supporting the causes you love. Together we will bring in the new year with joy.
Hello, we are back with the Ask Al Show. This is Ron Lim, the co-host. We are brought to you by Heavenly Donuts tonight. They are open 24/7. I mentioned that they had a drive-through window and a walk-up window, but I forgot to mention that you can also order them through Grubhub and DoorDash. And your very first order, the delivery is free, not the donuts. If you would like to call in, our number is 530-605-4567. You can tune in at KCNR1460.com. And also, hit the live green button to listen. But if you want, you can just go to the chat room. I'm watching the computer if you want to talk to us through the chat. Or you can call L at...
You can send a text.
Text.
Yeah, 707-499-8999.
Or you can message either one of us on Facebook, Ask L or Ron Lim. All right, so we'll continue with our program, Elle.
Yep. And we are here with Tony Lamson. And, Tony, again, thank you so much for being on our show. And you were, we were diving into a little bit of your background. And, when we had talked earlier in the week, you had mentioned about not just being a combat vet, but your past also contributing to your reaction and the way you responded and how stress has affected you. And I also want to point out that you, as well as many of the men that I've been speaking to, do not refer to it as PTSD. You refer to it as PTS. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
That's got kind of a negative connotation that a lot of us kind of shy away from because we don't see it as a disorder. For us, it's a moral wounding. It's a moral injury. It's spiritual. It goes against my belief. It attacked my belief system. And it was negatively impacted. You know, I was put in a position where I was on 24/7. I was on edge because I didn't know when a mortar was going to come through my ceiling, which was nothing but plywood and sandpaper. I didn't know if I was going to come back from a mission. So, I mean, the whole time you're on deployment for close to 9 months, it was just like that. Totally on edge, totally on alert, even when you're behind, back at the base, allegedly safe. But when you start saying disorder, the first thing a lot of guys that talk to think about is, well, if it's a disorder, it's a mental health disease, it's gonna curtail my rights. I'm not gonna be able to own a gun. I'm not gonna be able to have certain rights and privileges. I mean, it's different. A lot of different people have got a lot of different reasons why they don't like the disorder part on the end. For myself, I just don't see it as a disorder. I see it as something that I physiologically was a change in my being that, you know, I guess that's the best way to put it.
So with your background leading up, and thank you for explaining that to us. Thank you for clearing that up, because I think that's an important distinction. And most of the men that I've talked to through Point Man Ministries and you and some of the other connections I've made use that PTS rather than PTSD. Is it important when we're referring to it with vets to make that distinction?
It's your choice. I mean, we're used to hearing it both ways. Some may be a little touchier than others. If they are, they'll let you know. It won't be meant as being mean. It's just that they're letting you know that they don't care for that. And if you can give them the grace and the love and just allow them that and just refer to it as PTS with them from then on, I believe you'll be good to go.
And then when we were talking, you had mentioned that your historically there was childhood events or childhood circumstances that made you even more vulnerable to this particular kind of stress. Is that something that you can talk about, share with us?
Well, growing up in the 70s and 80s, and I'm older than most of the guys from the current wars. They called me the old fart. I went through some things growing up that, you know, I didn't understand. A lot of things I didn't see as being bad. I didn't, or wrong. I didn't have an understanding of what the word love meant. I didn't have an understanding of what the word peace meant. I didn't know what a friend was, truly, until high school. And there was just a lot of negative things that took place in my life that manifested into who I was when I joined the military, and it kind of just kept going from there. That's why they call it the formative years. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, mine weren't as formative as others, not, at least in a positive way.
Yeah. So, moving forward to when you joined the service, what was your did you have expectations of that time in your life when you joined the service, what it might do for you, what it might not do for you?
No, it's just a day-to-day, it was life for me.
Yeah.
You know, and even today, I'd still go back and do it all over again if I had to.
Really? Wow. Okay.
But there's a thing that, I don't know if it's a movie reference, but Highlander, the series, you know, I'm an immortal. You know, you can't kill me. I'm large and in charge, and, you know, I can take down the world if I have to, because I'm a Marine. I'm unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, I lived that for a long time. And it wasn't until I got to Iraq the first time that I actually came to terms with that and realized how naive I was. And at 30-something years old, that's a long time to go around being naive. So, but that coupled with everything else, it basically restructured. Caused me to restructure my thought process for what my life was and where I was headed.
What caused that restructuring?
We had a rollover on a bridge, and when they pulled me out of the vehicle and I saw my guys laying on the ground all around me being treated by medical personnel, yeah, it shook me up pretty bad.
Wow.
Everybody was fine. It was just minor injuries, but still, you know, at the moment, you know, I had one guy unconscious. I had one guy walking around holding his head. I had another guy sitting on the ground. Mm-hmm. They said I was out for a few minutes, so I didn't know anything. So that's just one of a few things.
So at some point, somewhere along the line in your military service and in your enlistments, did you get married and start a family in between your enlistments?
Yeah. I am somewhat of a norm nowadays, I guess, from people I talk to. My current wife is my fourth wife. I'm not ashamed of that. It just, to me, I wasn't the right guy for the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, looking back, how my PTSD and my depression and a lot of other things that went on in my life contributed to those marriages not working out.
Now, so you're bringing up a really good point, and something that, you know, I eventually wanted us to begin to talk about is when you began to recognize that you had PTS, and as you recognized that, or even, you know, maybe you didn't recognize it in your first three relationships. Can you talk about some of the dynamics and what happened, how that interfered with your relationships, harmed relationships, ruined relationships? How did that show up for you?
My first marriage, with my son Matthew being involved, I was married to a gal in California, and I had anger issues, and I made a mess of the apartment, that the townhouse we lived in.
Now, when you say made a mess, what do you mean?
Head through walls, knee through walls, elbow through walls, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Just venting, not hitting anybody else, but doing damage to everything around us. But it was detrimental to the marriage. It caused major issues in the relationship between me and my wife at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up splitting up. But when I went back out there years later, they were still living in the same place, and I saw the really pretty job that they did repairing it, all those spots, but there was, you could see the scarring wound of that apartment, of my damage that went through there. And that was a constant reminder for them that I can only imagine what thoughts that drummed up. I didn't realize I had PTS until after I had a stroke, just a year before I retired in 08. So it wasn't until then that I realized that all that started actually coming to the surface, and realizing that was there when I started addressing behavioral issues.
So how did that come to the surface for you? You had the stroke. Is the stroke what opened your eyes to it?
Yeah, because I was working with a behavioral mental health person, and they were trying to, you know, they were telling me my mind was like a dry erase board, that I could just wipe it clean and start and rewrite my life. Well, that's kind of naive for somebody with a medical degree. But when I started looking at my life and how things were, especially where my emotions were concerned, I started realizing the triggers that I had. And now we're talking up to my third marriage. There were situations and issues that came up in our marriage that just, it was totally related to PTS, and depression, and even had the one time where, before I went for a trip, I was even suicidal at that. So.
Well, I want to address that. We're going to take a break right now, Tony, and thank you again for sharing so honestly about...
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. We'll come back to that after the break.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
And here we are again, back with the Ask L Show. And this is Ron Lim, your co-host, with the most. So, if you'd like to call in, we'd sure like to hear from you. The number is 530-605-4567, whether you want to tell us a little bit about yourself or chime in on what we're talking about here with our guest. We are brought, oh, wait, and also, you can go to kcnr1460.com. Listen to us on the live green button, or you can go to the chat room. I have that open on the computer. You can talk to us through there. You can also call L at...
Or you can text.
Or text,
me, yeah. I won't hear the call, but you can text 707-499-8999.
Okay. And last but... we are sponsored by Heavenly Donuts. I almost forgot that. Sorry, Katie. So they have 24/7... lobby, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m., drive-through window, walk-up window, and you can get your donuts through DoorDash and Grubhub still. Free delivery first time, not the donuts. So, let's continue with the show. Elle, where were we?
We are here with our special guest, Tony Lampson, who is really giving us an overarching view of his experience as a combat veteran. And... even his life prior to being a combat veteran, and how that shaped him as a man, and how that shaping evolved into him developing what he calls PTS. Some refer to it as PTSD. He prefers PTS. And so, Tony, thank you for being with us. And, you know, I just wanted to reiterate for you that your PTS for you shows up as anger, depression, and just before we took a break, you mentioned suicide.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a word that comes up a lot for veterans. And, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about what your PTS looked like for you? You explained that you had, this is your fourth marriage, and it impacted your previous three marriages. You know, can you share with us a little bit about how PTS has impacted your life?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey learning that. I have gone through my cognitive PTSD training to help me to figure out how to get through different situations with a different mindset on how to cognitively walk through it. But I still have auditory issues where I go into a room and if there's too many people, it sounds like a bunch of chickens cackling. You can't focus on any conversation. It just gets to the point where it's overwhelming and your heart just starts racing. Looking in your rearview mirror, seeing a guy that's all you can see is the Ram emblem on his grill because he's riding your tail end so fast, so close that that's it. Just anxiety, all that stuff, and it affects my relationships. So I have to be very aware of where I am and being present in the moment rather than being stuck in the past. My past is done. It's not going to change. And I have to get to a place in my life where I have to be in the now, in my present time, and enjoy that.
So tell me a little bit more about, because you've brought it up a couple times now about being in the now. What does that look like for you? And so what you're saying, that's one of the ways that you manage an event.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I'm stuffing it because that's a bad thing for me. And that's where we have a tendency, especially Marines, we have a tendency to just take what we're doing and just stuffing it down and swallowing it and just saying, no, it's not going to affect this. I'm just going to continue to march and pull up the bootstraps, blah, blah. That's not productive. Not for me. That's like a champagne bottle for the cork, and the cork just waiting to pop. And that you don't want to be around when that happens.
Hence the anger, the outburst, the destruction, the violence.
No, it's not the destruction. I don't do that. But, there's guys out there that probably are feeling that. They're triggered. There's a number of different triggers that we have, and no two people have got the exact same response to and reactions to their triggers and the PTS that they're walking through and living through. So,
what are some of your triggers, Tony?
Ooh. Loud noises, fireworks. You really want to see me go nuts? Fireworks. And I don't mean that in a good way. New Year's Eve this past, my neighbors behind us, who knew I have PTS, and they were shooting off fireworks, but the remnants of the fireworks were landing on the top of my house.
Oh, man.
So, I was in the front room in the corner of a sectional couch, just balled up, in the fetal position with two dogs and just a load of pillows on top of me, just shaking.
Oh, my goodness.
On the verge of a nervous breakdown and having a major anxiety attack. Luckily, the next day I found somebody that was able to speak to me in that moment and help me through it, and has since they've been firing out fireworks, and the fireworks aren't affecting me anymore because it's got nothing to do with me. I'm not going to let somebody else's actions dictate how I react.
So how long ago was this?
January, last year.
Just last year. Okay, you said that.
Or just the beginning of this January.
So are you saying that that conversation that you had with somebody, that created a shift for you?
Oh, yeah, big time.
What was it about that conversation, and who was that person to you?
He's a very special friend. He's somebody that's helped me walk through figuring out who I am, figuring out my relationships, and helping me see the reality of my existence and who Tony really is. I've been Staff Sergeant Lance, and I've been Crusty, I've been Shadow, I've been a number of different nicknames. Since I've been out, I've been Papa T and Crusty. And at no time have I ever taken the time to find out in my entire life who Tony is.
So how did he help you create that process? How did he help you find out who Tony is?
Well, it's one of the programs that I'm in. I'm in one of the fellowships that exist out there.
Is it okay to say the name of it?
I'm an active Al-Anon member. That's as far as I'll talk on that.
Okay, get it.
But it's helped me, and it's been beneficial. You know, a lot of the stuff that they helped me walk through was, and not just them, it's also the cognitive training that I did, and the people that I work with at the Point Man, and the people that I come alongside here with our men's groups.
Can you talk a little bit about the cognitive training? That's come up a couple times, and I'm curious what that means and what that looks like.
Well, the VA's got a couple programs out there. I went through a 12-week program that was focusing on the cognitive. They isolate a particular event and help train you to walk you through focusing on the event to the point where you're seeing the negative and turning the negative into a positive and coming to realization what your true, you know, where you're, the reaction to, if you have a response, your reaction is, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, that rollover was my fault. It happened. If I'd done this, it wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. But then when it gets down to the end, it wasn't my, you know, I came to the conclusion that it really wasn't my fault. It was a situation that was out of my control. And why was I still carrying it after 20 years?
Mm-hmm. So the 12-week program that you were talking about that is through the VA, is it called anything in particular? Is it every VA that offers this?
Well, it's through the behavioral health. With the VA, it's CBT, I think, is the
cognitive
the
behavioral
one,
therapy.
The 12-week
okay.
CBT. I at the moment right now, my brain's kind of overwhelmed with a lot of this stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
Pardon me. Give me a little grace on that.
Are you doing okay?
Oh, I'm doing perfectly.
Okay,
fine.
Good. I wasn't sure you needed to take a little, you know, breather there for a second. And, you know, I appreciate you, you know, being so willing to share your story. And on my side of it, I don't want to say or do anything that's going to also create a trigger. But
this is the biggest audience I've had ever talking about any of this. So,
Tony, thank you so much. Very brave of you. Very courageous of you.
Just trying to help somebody else. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, my hope is that with you coming on the show and people hearing your background, your experience, your stories, your activity in the military, and how that impacted you. Historically, moving forward, how that impacted you with, you know, in your life with anxiety, depression, hard on relationships, hard working jobs, that, you know, there'll be men out there that can identify with what you're saying. And,
that's
the hope in this. And, you know, finding a, you know, that there's help and that there's hope out there for them. And we're getting ready to go into our next break here. But when we come back, when we come back from our break, I'm hoping that we can begin to talk about what, you know, what's helped you, what's brought you hope, working through your particular, you know, triggers and PTS events.
Kind of hard getting used to that, right?
Oh, I guess we have 1 minute. I'm getting the 1 minute
about
sign.
That.
Okay. So for somebody out there who maybe doesn't realize that they are even experiencing PTS or PTSD event, what's something that you can say to them or share with them that might help them realize that they're in the midst of something that they can reach out for help with it?
I think we should go ahead and take the break first.
Yeah, I would suggest that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Well, I didn't want to give you more answers.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
This is
Elle. Hey, this is Ron, co-host of the Ask Elle Show. We're back from our break. If you would like to call in, our number is 530-605-4567, or you can tune in at kcnr1460.com. You can go to the chat room. We're watching for that. Or you can just listen to us on the live green button. We're brought to you by Heavenly Donuts tonight. They're open 24/7, 7 days a week. They have more than just donuts. They have some breakfast muffins and stuff, too.
Yeah, they have great stuff there.
Very good stuff. So we're continuing with the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tony, again, for joining us. We have Tony Lampson with us tonight, and Tony has, I got to say, just courageously agreed to share his story with us tonight in the hope that there are others out there that might be able to relate to a lot of what he's saying, and then he modeling for them the process for acknowledging that there may be something going on and how to get help for it. So before the break, Tony, I had asked you kind of a long question, but essentially wanting to know, you know, how can a person recognize they're being triggered or that they have triggers?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you can look up online. There's access to any range of triggers, lists that are out there regarding that. Whether you go to the VA website, Point Man's got a website that they can go to for that to help out with as well. There's a lot of different websites out there that can help help you understand, you know, what is it, you know, identify what triggers you've got and then go with that, you know, if you feel that something's being triggered or whatnot. If you're feeling that you're unsafe or that the situation is becoming unsafe or you're having problems or issues, call the 988 number. I'm glad that they shrunk it down to three numbers rather than that big long number. I could never remember that.
Thank you for bringing that up.
You know, that it's, you know, it part of us not dealing with what it is that we're living with. It can be embarrassment. It can be pride. It can be ego. It can be denial. You know, I don't have PTSD. I've got Vietnam vets that have been saying that have been, haven't been in Vietnam since, what, 75? So you're talking 50, almost 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. They're realizing that some of them are realizing for the first time that they've got PTS.
And been living with it.
Yeah.
I want to I want to bring something up right now because you had shared with me when we were talking earlier in the week that you actually volunteered and was manning the suicide hotline.
Yeah, we had with Point Man, we've got a special cell phone that has a number that would ring into whoever was manning that cell phone. And yeah, I walked around for a year or so with two cell phones on my hip and excusing myself from classes during my undergrad just to take the call from somebody that may be in crisis. We're not a counseling organization. We're not somebody that's going to, you know, the best place to go is 988.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are, they've got trained people there that can help walk you through what you've got, connect you with the right people. We can help you get to that as well. I'm not saying don't call us. I'm just saying mm-hmm. that the 988 is the best number to call to access that help, no matter what the crisis is that you're going through.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. And something else that that you brought up to me previously is, you know, my concern was how PTS and PTSD impacts people through the holidays and the number of suicides. And you told me something very interesting. Will you tell our listeners what you told me?
Yeah, there's a myth that's out there, and this comes from CDC, this comes from the VA, this comes from a number of different medical websites that have done papers on this. Statistically, the holidays are some of the lowest numbers for suicide among veterans.
Surprising, yeah.
The numbers for us are bigger in the spring and the fall. And you can go to the VA website. They've got the 2002 data statistics on there for the 2022 publication that just came out in dealing with suicide. The numbers, the demographics, everything, it's about 43 pages long in a PDF. You can download it, print it off, whatever. But it's eye-opening. But we get so stuck on the numbers, you know, the decade-old 22 veterans a day. It's an old number. It's from 10 years ago. The reporting on it is flawed. For an actual number that's out there right now, it's much higher.
Mm, wow.
But to actually have a good view of that, how they get those numbers and the reporting on it has to change to be more inclusive. So instead of getting stuck on the numbers, why aren't we getting stuck on reaching out and saying, hey, you know, Joe's having a problem. I can see a change in him. Ask him. There's nothing wrong. Everybody that deals with suicide prevention and whatnot, the first thing they tell you is ask them.
Ask them like, what? What do you ask?
Do you feel like hurting yourself? Mm. Are you considering suicide? I mean, it's not going to make him want to do suicide, but it's going to actually hit him on the spot and actually make him answer that. You can tell, mm-hmm. you know, somebody, you know if they're lying to you or not. But if you see a change in somebody, especially over the holidays, depression comes in. I mean, I don't like to be in big crowds, especially with, you know, the chicken coop mentality with the noise. But I self-isolating, and you know, it's an issue. But you know, just like I said, stop focusing on the numbers and start focusing on the prevention and helping people rather than reaching out and helping people and offering to be there, stand beside them with a couple buckets of water to put out that fire that they're walking through, and I actually mean, I got your six when you say it to them.
So what does that look like for a family member? And, you know, how does a family member recognize the warning signs for somebody who might be suffering and wants to do something?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to go to PTSD counseling. I also didn't want to go to marriage counseling. I didn't see that I needed it. But it got to the point where my wife, every time something would start, she'd look at me and say, "Oop, there's the Marine. Oop, there's the Marine."
What'd she mean by that?
That was my PTSD coming out.
Mm-hmm.
She was identifying for me when I was doing stuff because she knew. She took the time as my partner in life to actually do the research, ask questions of other spouses, and actually say, how can I help my husband be more successful and be in my life for the long haul and not worry about whether he's going to, you know, check out early.
So one of the most powerful things that family can do for loved ones who might be suffering this is get educated, get understanding, and get support for themselves as well.
Yeah, and be discerning when you're checking out some of these websites, some of these groups on Facebook. There's some out there that are just corny as ever.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the advice that they give you is from a non-professional, not really having a good clue on what they're providing as far as advice. Get the second opinion. Don't just go with it and trash your marriage just because so-and-so said to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen.
Bad advice.
Get rid of the static.
Mm-hmm. So, I want to give you an opportunity right now because last week we had Marcus on from Point Man Ministries. And I do want to give you a minute to talk a little bit about Point Man Ministries and what phenomenal work they do. And this is a great resource for people to get help and hope. It's just one of many, and we're going to list some of the ways that people can get help and hope. But please tell us a little bit about Point Man Ministries.
It's an international ministry, outreach ministry. We're not pastors. We're not counselors. We're lay ministers. It's a faith-based organization. But we're there to come alongside veterans and their families, first responders and their families, caregivers, frontline workers at the hospital. When Bill first started this, it was first responders that he was talking to because that's where the vets from Vietnam were going to. Most of the guys that I know of, a lot of the guys I know of that served with me in Iraq are firefighters.
Oh,
and I got a lot of respect for that. They went from being a military policeman to a firefighter. You know, and I watch them on Facebook, and I'm just so proud of how far they've come. We have home fronts, which speaks specifically to the families. We don't have that many of them right now. We're kind of in the dip of the biorhythm thing going on.
But you guys do offer, for lack of a better term, you offer. Digital help. People can, even if there's not one locally, they can call in and they can get support. Families can get support through Homefront. Veterans can get support through Point Man International Ministries itself. And so what's the website for that? Because I know the number is on there.
Yeah, it's pmim.org.
Mm-hmm.
The digital... I'm very active on Zoom. I'm very active on Skype and on FaceTime through Facebook. And I know a number of other outpost leaders are in the same boat where they do the outreach, you know, farther out,
mm-hmm.
and take calls. And we're looking at increasing that ability for reaching other members out there. And we're looking and. As always with any organization, we're looking for people that have got a heart for other veterans and their families and want to do something positive with their life and for other people in service, you know, contact us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. I'm going to repeat that. It's pmim.org, correct?
Correct.
pmim.org. And, you know, so, go ahead.
Really quick, when that opens up on the page, there's a drop-down box at the top that says Outpost and Homefront.